for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, December the 29th, 2012. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Zion, the Mountain of God.
So just welcome. Welcome her, Jerry. Come and give us the word of the Lord.
Richard especially likes the one where I said I've never been meek a day in my life, and would y'all please forgive me? Have y'all put up with me all these years? People like you to humble yourself, really, which is something I need to do more. Well, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just come before your throne, and Lord, we just do put on meekness. We do put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to download us from heaven, Lord. We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to cover this place, this camp, with the blood of Jesus. We pray a wall of fire, a hedge of protection, you warring angels around this camp, every worker in this camp, every person in this camp, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. In the name of Jesus, we take our seat in the heavenly places and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. We nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this place, over Patty and Kevin, over Richard, over Linda, over Sandra, over her granddaughter, over Rick, over Richard, over every worker, all the people that come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Jane and Benny and Tom and Diane and Don and Ada, and Richard and Mara, Lord, every person here, Linda, God, any person that works at this camp that I've even forgotten, Lord, I ask you to protect them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Every tongue that accuses us in judgment, we condemn now, for this is the heritage of those who seek the Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you that we can serve you. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for even when the lights go out, Lord, we sing, "You're all I need." And when the lights go out, Lord, are you really all I need? God, forgive us. You heard the word that Kernan spoke about the things that are going on here in America. I totally have been reading about that since probably 1982, but there's new things on the scene. I don't have to tell you, the world is in a terrible mess. And President Obama, if God doesn't stop him, will bring in the one world government. I mean, that is the plan. And it's not because he's stupid. It's because they're trying to destroy America, where Americans will cry out for a man of peace. When destruction hits America, people are going to be crying out for somebody to rescue them. But the saints have a place where God will protect us. And as Howard said, there's going to be no self or no flesh that's going to be on the highway of holiness. You know, he shared about the highway of holiness, what God showed him when he was really dead. He had an after-death experience. God showed him that highway of holiness that the saints were on, walking that highway of holiness right into the kingdom of God with the beautiful flowers along the side of the highway of holiness. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Master and you're yielded to Him, you are on the highway of holiness right now, passing through this world into eternity. So I say, make sure you know that you're not just a church member. He says 90% of church members are lost. Leonard Ravenhill says 98% of church members are lost. Most people today in the church are religious. I have an easier time speaking the Word of God to my customers that come to buy puppies from me. I've never once had anybody reject the gospel because I asked God to send them. If they do, they don't do it in my presence. I mean, I pass out things at restaurants and people say, aren't you the lady that gave me that book? I read that book and I accepted the Lord. I have people tell me that all the time. And you pray for divine appointments. A few years ago, I realized I don't want to stand before the Lord and have Him tell me, Jerry, all these people went to hell because you did not tell them about me. And about 3 or 4 years ago, it's probably about 4 years ago, I made a determination. From now on, I will witness to everybody that God puts on my heart, which is almost everybody He brings into my life. And we need to work while it's still day, because there's going to be a time when we cannot work. And so we need to make... I don't want to stand before the Lord and Him say, I missed it. So we need to, from this day forward, live our lives in a way that pleases Him. And as the Scripture says, examine yourself and make sure that you are of the faith. Not a believer up here, but where you've had a born-again experience. And if you've never been a person that has, since you've accepted Jesus, been willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow the Lord, can I tell you, you've never been born again? God has to bring you to the place of death. And when I got saved was when I just hated this world. I could not see any point in getting up, going to bed, coming to work, coming up. I said, no point in it. And I've never been suicidal, but I wouldn't have cared if I died, except I thought I'd go to hell. And when I got born again, I thought, hey, I have a reason to live. And let me tell you something. If you're my age and you don't have a purpose higher than yourself, let me tell you, it's destruction. But having a purpose higher than yourself gives you something to live for. To live for eternity. Oh God, teach us to number our days that we might present to you, Lord, a heart of wisdom. And then Jean shared a message that just convicted me up one side and down the other. It was after the lights came on. And I thank you, Jean. She was basically sharing, if you're murmuring and complaining in the midst of the trials you go through, guess what? Here comes the snakes and the serpents. God destroyed the children of Israel for grumbling in the wilderness. The wilderness is our circumstances. And I pray that that's changed my life to where I never grumble again. I mean, I've been so frustrated over my eyes. And now, ever since Jean's message, I'm saying, Lord, thank you that I can see. Thank you that I can drive. I remember a time when I would turn in that driveway and I would run off the curb because I couldn't see the road. And now, praise God, I was telling God, now I can see the road going into there because I don't have night blindness. So, praise God. And anyway, we have to be willing just to die. God knows if we need our eyes. He knows what we need. Our times are in His hands. And every detail of our life has already been planned before the foundation of the world. He has ordered our steps. The steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered by the Lord. And I tell you, the saints are living in fear because they've got their head in the TV set watching what's going on in the world. You know, the Bible says the enemy's heart melts because, like in the book of Joshua chapter 5, the children of Israel, in the Canaanite nations, the enemies in the land, their heart melted because they saw what God had done for the children of Israel. And see, that's why Satan has a strategy to put out your light, as Howard said. He has a strategy to defeat you because he knows the power you have in Jesus' name. His heart's melting. The Bible says no man or woman will be able to stand against you if you keep covenant with the Lord. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. And there's fear everywhere of the one world order, the chip. What are we going to do? How are we going to eat? How will we be provided for? God's going to take care of us. Has there ever been a time in your life He's not taken care of you? Never. But we have to be ready and we have to be prepared. And if we're living with sin in our life, and that doesn't mean, hey, we're all full of sin and He's going to show us something else next week. But I'm saying that you need to be as repentant as you know need to be to right this moment, and then tomorrow He's going to show you something else you need to repent of. And it's a process of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. But the Bible says that that without holiness, no man is going to see God. And so I want you to see the difference between legalism and obedience, abiding in Christ. And the Bible says, you can go ahead and turn it on, Don. Don says, well, before you do that, there's a throne of grace I can go to, and at the throne of grace I get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. When you can leave that one up. When I go to God. If I don't go to God with my problems, I come short of the grace of God and I receive a root of bitterness. So in my trials, I'm either going to become better or bitter. However I choose. Does it mean I'm perfect? No. It means that I'm continually choosing against myself for God. It means that I choose His way over my way, His attitudes over my attitudes, His plan over my plan. And so there's a throne of grace that I can go to, and there I get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. There is where I get conformed into His image when I deal with my sin the way He shows me I need to deal with it. If I let the sun go down on my anger and I don't deal with my sin, I come short of the grace of God and I receive a root of bitterness. Now you can change it if you want. God says God is the potter and we're the clay. If you've ever seen a potter's wheel, and some of you have seen this before, but there's others of you, when you hear a message of you better repent, you're thinking it's something I've got to do, especially, and you do have to repent, you do have to be obedient, but you need to strive according to the mighty power working in you and not try to do it yourself. You cannot save yourself. And so people that are legalistic, God says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so the clay rest on this one went to God, got on the potter's wheel, and the potter takes the junk out of you. The clay only does one thing. You're the clay, only does one thing. He chooses to come under the control of the potter over and over and over and over in all of life situations. Not a perfect person, but how you're perfect as He's perfect and how you're holy as He's holy is the only time you're not sinning is when you're under His control. Is that correct? And that's how you're holy, because as He's holy and perfect as He's perfect. Now, the clay that doesn't go in the world's eyes looked better than the one that got on the potter's wheel with all the junk. It's the potter's job to take the junk out of you. The clay only has one thing to do, and that's to continually come and yield to the potter. And for me to come and yield to the potter, I have to choose His way over my way, His word over my word, His attitudes over my attitudes, His plan over my plan. And my flesh suffers because I have to choose to deny myself and take up my cross to come under the influence and the control of the potter. Is that right? Okay, the next one. Now that clay, back it up. This clay, because he willfully didn't come. The other one came. Now, a legalistic person, go ahead and turn it, Don, is a person that tries to turn the potter's wheel himself. He's a performer. Probably he grew up feeling, only time he felt love was when he performed and did everything perfect to please his mother or please his daddy. Could come down generationally, or could just have a religious spirit. A religious spirit, usually in extreme cases, a person has a bad breath all the time. Or they have body odor. Because it talks about the Pharisees were like open sepulchres, like open graves. And I've learned this in ministering to people. When you lead them, when you cast out the religious spirit, the odor leaves. You know, you're either an aroma of life or an aroma of death, depending on who's got control of you. Okay, back it all the way back up to the very first thing of God there. Okay, There's a reason I don't go to God. There's two reasons I don't go to God. Either I say, I know what your word says and I'm not going. I'm just stubborn. Or, God, I want to go to you, but I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid you're like my daddy or like my mother. I'm afraid you're not there. If you were abandoned, hey, God's not there. However you judge your mother and father, unconsciously you're judging God the same way. And so there's a willful not going, but yet there's a, I want to go, but I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid that He won't answer my questions. I'm afraid that He doesn't want the best for me. I'm afraid He's a liar like my daddy, or I'm afraid He's gone. I'm afraid He won't forgive me. I'm afraid He won't guide me. He won't direct me. And one of the main reasons that you don't pray is because you didn't talk to your mother or daddy. So God don't want to talk to me either. Or I don't go to God because, hey, daddy never was there or mother never was there. So the lie I believed about God is He's left me too. So no use going to a God that's not there. Or if you grew up with an alcoholic parent, no use going to God. He's up there drunk and out of his head. He won't give me any sensible answers. So there's a willful not going, and there's a I don't go because I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid He's like dad or mom. So the next one. So the difference between that's abiding in Christ. Jesus, another way of saying it, is Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Now the clay rests on the potter's wheel. Is that right? Go, if you will, to Deuteronomy 28. I want you to see that unrest is a curse. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, now this is the reason for the curse, "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." And he lists 50-some-odd curses. But if you look in verse 65, you'll see one of the curses is, "And among those nations," that's the world, "you shall find no rest, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart." That could be heart palpitations, heart problems, failing of eyes. Do you see that glasses? These glasses are a curse. There's some things I don't see about my life. And that's the reason I'm not healed yet. I've been repenting of many, many, many things over the eyes. But it's a curse. Failing of eyes and despair of soul. And so, no resting place for the sole of your feet, living in a state of unrest, it's a curse that comes down generationally, or it's because of your own sin. You see it with little kids, they're just hyper like this. Well, parents let them play these video games that they're just like going like this. I told the little boy today, I said, if I was your mama, you wouldn't be having that at all. Of the witchcraft that's in those things makes these kids hyper, besides the shots and things they give them. Okay, the reasons we don't go, just some of them. Next one, Don. We think we have to do it ourselves, and that's the picture of a legalistic person. He's trying to turn the potter's wheel. Back it up one, Don. This one here is under the law. You know, if I walk in the Spirit, there's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So there's no law for the one that's on the potter's wheel, because when he's dead to himself, the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through, and it produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. The one that's full of rebellion there, he is the legalistic one, because he's in rebellion, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And he's back under the law, producing the deeds of the flesh. The next one, Don. And he's turning the potter's wheel, which is the work of the flesh. Alive to him, not letting Jesus walk around in his body and act like who he is. The next one. I don't go because I don't want to let go of things that I think I have to have, like my drugs, my alcohol, my cigarettes, my meanness, my whatever, my TV set, my movies. I want to say this, and this might make some of you so mad. Let me tell you something. It is impossible to live a holy life and be contaminating yourself with movies, with internet, and with TV. You're being brainwashed and programmed. You're a spiritual garden, and you're planting in those gardens seeds that's producing demonic things. So here you come to a deliverance camp, you get delivered, and then you go home and saturate yourself back in the movies, back in the TV, and you're replanting garbage back in your heart. If you plant corn in a garden, you're going to get corn. You plant lust in a garden, you're going to get lust. You plant hatred and violence in your garden, it's going to produce meanness and strife and anger and violence. Whatever seed it is, it's going to produce that kind of seed. So you need to be saturating yourself in the Word of God more than ever now, because what you have in your heart may be the only Bible you'll be able to have. It's what you've got stored in your heart. And you're going to get, if you're storing this stuff in your heart, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. If you want to have purified thoughts, you got to purify your heart. And you're not going to be working out your salvation with fear and trembling if you're allowing stuff in your life that shouldn't be there. And now I'm saying that, I'm not perfect, but I'm working out my salvation. When Jean spoke the message about ingratitude, I thought, oh my goodness. I thought of about 50 things I'd griped about in the last 2 hours. We say, oh God, you're all I need. Hello. You just see how fleshly you are when you're put out a little bit. Maybe I'm just speaking about myself, but I don't want to be that way. I want God to take that out of me. I want, the Lord showed, Kyle and I were talking about this coming down here. It's impossible to get delivered if you don't have a grateful heart. And it was in reference to somebody that had just gotten out of prison. And I went out and bought him $150 worth of stuff, not to boast or nothing, because I wanted to help him. He didn't have any underwear or any socks. And so he said to me before I came, he said, will you owe me $50? And I said, I just spent $150 on you. And he said, I had to take all that stuff back. And I didn't do it for him to say thank you. But I saw through that, he's not repentant. Because a person that's repentant, they'll crawl on broken glass. Tell me what I need to do. I'm grateful for a roof over my head. I'm grateful for anything. And so I just saw that if you're not grateful, you better get grateful if you're wanting to get delivered. Because God, we've got so much to be thankful for. And Lord, forgive me for my murmuring, complaining. And this represents a person that won't let go of his idol. Whatever you love more than you love Jesus. Okay, the next one. This represents a person that grew up with an angry, raging, abusive, molesting, whatever, dad or mom. He sees God just like he saw his mom and dad, and he's afraid to go to God. He's still under the law. He's still in rebellion, because the only place you're not in rebellion is when you're on the potter's wheel. Okay, another. And this is a person that thinks they have to have everything perfect before they can come. Have you ever prayed for 3 hours confessing sins you'd already confessed before you ever got to your prayer life? I used to do that. Next one. Beat yourself up. People that have come out of Satanism do that. They burn themselves with irons. They iron. They eat human feces. They pull their hair. They cut their hair. They burn themselves trying to punish themselves because they grew up being taught they had to punish themselves. Next one. I have to clean myself up. The next one. I don't like what you're doing, so I bail out. Next one. I'm out of here. You see, we have to yield to the potter. And the difference between legalism, God's not going to look at your junky clay and say, you're too bad, I'm going to throw you away. The one that gets thrown away is the one that won't come. There's a song that's just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. It has to do with coming just like you are. With all your junk, yielding to the potter, and the potter does all the work. But you have to stay on the potter's wheel. Okay, I just wanted to share that before I share the message. And the message is called Zion, the Mountain of God. You know, we've heard all the bad news about everything that's going to happen, and we need to know what's going to happen. Howard didn't mince any words when he was saying there's no flesh getting to the veil. Unless you're willing to deny yourself and take up your cross, there is no salvation. It's all by grace. But let me tell you, you don't obey to be saved. You obey because you're saved. Because you're born again, you're going to obey. And obedience is not legalism. Rebellion is legalism. And Another way of saying it is, another place of safety, the mountain of the Lord would be like Noah. Noah means rest. The promised land was the land of rest. Matthew 11, where he said, "Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Hebrews 3 and 4 says, "See to it that you enter God's rest, that there is a promised rest for God's children." Go to Hebrews chapter 3, please. Verse 4. "For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful over us as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." Now, verse 12. "Take care, brethren." Is this speaking to brethren? "Lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we've had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who believed enter that rest, just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this passage, 'They shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them, they failed to enter because of disobedience.'" So when we yield to the potter and come unto him, when he says, "You labor and are heavy laden," he gives you rest. And you see that if you don't yield to him, you're under a curse of Deuteronomy 28. Zion is the New Jerusalem. It's the mountain of the Lord, the hill of the Lord. And there's so much that I don't understand about it. And I took out about, I must have cut about 10 pages out of this. But it's a place of protection. Zion is the place of God's presence. As Kyle's been saying, it is the secret place. It is the hill of the Lord. And I really hope that these scriptures encourage you about when you are yielded to God, how He's going to protect you in these days we're living in. And let me say, if you grew up not being protected by your parents, then you have a fear that God's not going to protect you either. That's where that fear of what's going on is going to happen. It's going to happen. And that's where that fear comes from. One of the places. Mount Zion is identified as the place where God sits in rulership over the world. It's the spiritual place that you can't see with a human eye. Like Psalms 18 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe." Mount Zion is a spiritual place, but it's more real than this building you're sitting in. You cannot see it with the human eye. But it's a spiritual place. It's a spiritual Jerusalem. It's the place of His presence. It's the place where the wicked bow down at the gates of the righteous, the mouths of the righteous. The wicked have to bow down to us. You see, that's why Satan's strategy is to defeat you. If they can instill fear in you, then Goliath is still taunting the saints. "I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. Boy, this is going to happen. This is happening. This is happening." And they're trying to make the saints fearful, because if they can make us fearful, we're knocked out of our position in the heavenly places and we have no power over him. And I liked what Howard said, that Satan is going to only overcome you if you let him. So we are to stand strong. It's a place of life, health, healing, and deliverance. It's a place of great authority. In fact, the Bible says that God says He's going to give the nations to you as an inheritance. Psalm says, with the high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, upon the nations, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with iron. That's what God wants us to do. God says the violent take the kingdom of God. Take it by force. So it's a place of great authority. Not only do we have authority over Satan, but we have authority over demons and other people. Something happened when I used to have a farm years ago where I would house people in their recovery process. And since that day, I've never been afraid of facing a man or a woman. I've never been afraid. And what happened is that I had a girl, and some of you know the girl. She probably weighed about 300 pounds, and she came out of Satanism. And what she used to do, she was so angry, she would find every big man she could find on the street and beat him up. She had superhuman strength that in the natural she could have thrown me through this trailer. But a girl did something that pushed a button in her that reminded her of somebody she promised she was going to kill. And this girl ran in the bathroom, and without thinking, I didn't think what I was going to do. Without thinking, I mean, she grabbed this girl by the throat, and I ran in there, and I grabbed this girl that weighed about 300 pounds, and I threw her on the floor, and I got on top of her, and I was just laying on top of her like this. And she was going, ah, ah. I was doing nothing. I was just laying on top of her like this. She's going, ah, ah. It was like the angels had her pinned to the floor. And the Lord showed me that my angels were stronger than her demons. Because in the natural, she could have killed me. I didn't even think. It was like the gift of faith. I just threw her down and got on top of her, and I put no pressure on her. Since that day, I have never been afraid of facing a big, big man in a dark alley. Because I knew that God's angels were working with me. Another time I was ministering to her and I got in the flesh. And I had a couch table. I only had an hour to minister to her. And every time I would minister, she'd flip into something else. And she'd go out, she'd forget where she was, and she was going out the door, she was going to go home. I said, get back in here, let me pray for you. And I brought her back in. And the demons in her tripped me, and the back of my head hit the coffee table, and everything shorted out. It was like went numb for just a few minutes. And I learned that day that if you get in the flesh with a demonized person, they will kill you. But if you're operating in the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, your angels are working with you. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who watches over His word to perform it. And you don't have to be afraid. It says in Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. I love this scripture. You know, being in covenant with the Lord, there's requirements. And it's all by grace that you could ever do anything. It's all by His grace that you would even obey Him. And when I was saying I was on top of that girl, I was doing nothing. I wasn't even exercising any muscle power over her. I was just laying on top of her like this. And I really did have my hand like this. He knows the girl, and he knows she could have killed me, right? Yes. But God, it's the difference between walking in the Spirit versus being in the flesh. And I've been both places. I like Spirit better. It says in Deuteronomy 11:21, so that your days and the days of your sons, it's talking about being obedient, so that the days and days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remain upon the earth. Well, the heavens are here, so this is a promise for us. For if you're careful to keep all this commandment, which I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, not your ways, and hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all the nations from before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. verse 24. Every place in which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. You know why? Because you're under His shadow. He is overshadowing you. Just like Peter. I mean, His shadow heals people, because when you're under God's shadow, the atmosphere around you changes. Because of God, not because you're so tough. It says, every place you place your tread shall be yours. Your border shall be from the wilderness to Lebanon, and it gives your border. There shall no man or woman be able to stand before you. The Lord your God shall lay the dread of you on the fear of you on all the land on which you set foot, as He has spoken to you. Now this promise back in 21 says, as long as the heavens are in the sky. That promise is for today. It says, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you today, and the curse if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way where I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. You know what our other gods are? Anything that pushes your button is connected to another god. You got to give it up. And I liked what Howard said today. I've heard that message. I've heard that testimony probably at least 15 times over the years. And every time, it's the same testimony, but I get something different out of it. And this time, I got out of it the strategy of the enemy. There's a familiar spirit that follows you around, knows all your weaknesses, and he reports to the prince. And the prince, you just set up for that, for them to attack you in the areas of your weakness. And God lets them. If you learn to say, Lord, why am I being attacked? He just loves to show you, and then you repent and you close that door. So it's in Joshua 5 that says the hearts of your enemies will melt. That means faint, become so weak that they're powerless against you. And so go to Psalms 24:3. Now, how do you get to the hill of the Lord? How do you get in that holy place? It says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand means rise, abide, continue in His holy place. He that hath clean hands, which means innocent, blameless, and guiltless hands, and a pure heart means beloved, empty heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, desolating, evil as destruction, false, lying, uselessness, idolatry, guile, and worthless is what vanity means. Nor sworn deceitfully means to swear, deceiving fraudulently. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seeks his face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up. Accept, which means accept, advance, arise, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, means your mouth, opening a door city. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Bible says that the Lord sits as King over the flood. You know, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Master, tell us when will be the sign of your coming. He said, it'll be just like the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying until Noah entered the ark. Well, God promised there's never going to be another flood of water. Didn't He promise that? But the flood is a spiritual flood coming over the internet and over the news media to sweep away the woman with a flood. But God said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to raise up a standard against him. But the standard is God's Word. If you don't know God's Word, there's no standard to lift up. More than ever, you better saturate yourself in the Word of God. And when I read the Word, one thing I do is when I read a scripture, I repent over it, whether I think I did it or not. I just repent when I'm reading the Bible, and I get deliverance when I read the Bible. That's what it means to be washed with water and the Word. And so other ways to say what the hill of the Lord, Zion, means? Present your body to God as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's another way to say or know that you're in the secret place. Be on the potter's wheel. That's a way to say it. Walking in the Spirit is another way to say it. I walk in the Spirit as I continue to deny myself and take up my cross and follow Him. When I'm walking the highway of holiness, denying myself, giving up my life that I might find it, being in His refuge, His strong tower, the name of the Lord, hidden with God in Christ. Colossians talks about being hidden with God in Christ. Job 28 says, go to Job 28. Some of you have read this before, but this is the most incredible scripture for these days we're living in. Job 28. The other day I was out in the yard I just read how they're sending drones, unmanned drones, all over America to surveil us. And you know, Howard said the Antichrist, he knows everything about you. Well, you know, we've been concerned over the technology that even through your telephone, you can have the telephone off and they can hear your conversations, know exactly where you are, track you, know everything about you. And that's been a concern. But guess what? God says in Job 28 that you're hidden from all the eyes of the living when you walk in wisdom. Job 28 says it's speaking of wisdom. Read all of Job 28, but I'm just going to read parts of it. It's Job 6. It's talking about wisdom. Its rocks are the source of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. The path of wisdom, no bird of prey knows, no demon knows. And I think the King James says, no vulture's eye has seen. Does anybody have King James? Is that what it says? No vulture's eye has seen. So the demons are types of the birds of the air. It says, no demon has seen. The path of wisdom, no bird of prey knows. Nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it. The proud beasts have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lions passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint, and he's just describing wisdom. Verse 12, but where can wisdom be found? And where's the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not with me, and the sea says it's not with me. And but it says that we're hidden from all the eyes of the living. Where did it say that? Anyway, I was out in the yard thinking about those drones flying over, and I was going to say, oh, Lord, protect the saints. And when you pray for all the saints all over the world, because they're going to be affected by this too. Doesn't matter what nationality or what country they're in. Pray for the saints because they're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Verse 21. It says, thus it is hidden from the eyes of the living and concealed from the birds of the sky. And I was thinking about those drones, those unmanned drones surveilling people's property. And thinking of something. The Lord, I've read this so many times that the Lord just dropped it in my heart. You're hidden from all the eyes of the living. One night I was looking out the window. I thought, that is strange. It was like a light through the trees. And I kept looking, and it would move. And I thought, well, there was a satellite outside. I thought there was a satellite outside my window. I said, Kyle, do you see that? He said, yeah, it says Eden Joe's. He makes fun of some of my little, do you see that drone? Anyway, sometimes he's as funny as a sore knee. No, I'm just teasing. He's a blessing. But anyway, I kind of, you know, what is that? So read the whole thing of, well, let me go back and read Job 28. It describes wisdom, and then down in verse 20 it says, then where does wisdom come from, and where's the place of understanding? Thus it's hidden from the eyes of the living. So if I'm walking the path of wisdom, nobody can see me. You know, you've heard the story of Brother Andrew, how he passed the Bibles across the border and nobody even saw the Bibles. It says, and concealed from the birds of the sky, Abaddon, Satan, and death say, with our ears we've heard a report of it. God understands this way. The devil and his demons don't know where this path is. It says, God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heaven. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Because the fear of the Lord, it says, an understanding, and to depart from evil is understanding. So I know I'm on the path of wisdom when I fear the Lord and I turn from evil. Fear the Lord and turn, and I keep turning from evil. I know I'm on the path of wisdom. The Bible says that the secrets of the Lord are for those who fear Him. Proverbs 3 says that we know we're walking the path of wisdom. It says all of her ways, wisdom's ways, are pleasant ways, and all her paths are paths of peace. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to green pastures, a place to feed. I have rest and peace in my soul, having on the whole armor of God, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, Psalms 91. Having on the armor of light. Go to, I think that's, I don't know where that scripture is. Anyway, it says, make no provision for the flesh. And they can have on, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Having on the whole armor of God. You can dress up in it all day long, but if you've got sin in your life, unconfessed sin. We all have sin in our life. But I'm talking about sin you're aware of, unconfessed sin. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Another way of saying it is reckon yourself dead. And when you're on the potter's wheel, Acts 15 says you cleanse your heart by faith. It takes faith to yield to a God that you think may be an abuser like your parent, or not there, or throws you away, or doesn't love you. Some truths about Zion. Psalms 132:13 says, the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. They will there, here, while I sit enthroned, for I have desired it. And then it goes on to say, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud, spring forth. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. See, the saints are called Zion, and God is called Zion, and it's His dwelling place. He dwells in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, His enemies, our enemies, God's going to clothe them with shame. Isaiah 14:32 says, the Lord has established, founded Zion. You know, an interesting point, if you've noticed that the enemies of physical Israel never use the word Israel. Because Israel means, El means, one who overcomes with God's help. And of course, we're the Israel of God. And that's in Romans 9:8. Go to Romans 9:8. We are the spiritual Israel of God. Romans 9:8. I hope this encourages you, because we don't have to fear in these days. No man or woman can stand against you. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. I'm hanging on to that verse, and I want to keep my ways pleasing to the Lord. When I see sin, I want to repent from it. How many of you know people that are never wrong? No matter what happens, they turn it back like you're the bad guy. Have you seen somebody like that? That, the Bible calls that a spiritual harlot, because the Bible says they wipe their mouth and say, I've done nothing wrong. A spiritual harlot is a person that's prayed the prayer to receive Jesus, but they've never been born again. They're just religious. A lot of times those people, I never see them ever laugh, except if they're making fun of somebody. God help us. Don't ever make fun of anybody. Don't ever make fun of anybody. Because guess what? You'll end up being like that person that you made fun of. Romans 9:8. We need to each take accountability for our own sin. You can't save anybody else, but you can ask God to work in your heart. Romans 9:8 says, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, But the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Speaking of Abraham, let me back up. But is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who descended from Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Go to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 3, and it's other places, but I'm just going to read two places. Verse 28, there is neither Jew, 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And that's not to disregard physical Israel. God says, I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. But listen, you curse another Christian and you're cursed. Okay, the city of Babylon, Zion, is synonymous with Jerusalem in the spiritual sense, and also believers who are the Israel of God. And so the city of Babylon, spoken of in the Old Testament, was a literal physical city, and yet in some cases Babylon, spoken of in Revelation, is not only a physical city, but it's a representation of an evil worldly system. There's some people that say Babylon is America, and I wouldn't doubt it. But Babylon also is represented by church members who prayed a prayer to receive Jesus, and they're spiritual harlots. They're Babylon. They're a picture of a church member that lives after the flesh. It's a church system, an evil. Some people say it's the Catholic Church. Can I tell you, it's any church member, anybody that's given their prayed a prayer to receive Jesus and are living after the flesh. That's Babylon. Go to Revelation 18. And there's so many false prophets out there, so many false teachers, so many false prophets that are perverting the church. It's really sad. I hardly know of a place in America where you can get fed the Word of God that's not perverted, or they're into some kind of a thing that Rick Warren is involved with, or some other person like him. Revelation 18 says, verse 1, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she's become a dwelling place of demons. I want to be a dwelling place of the Lord, don't you? But Babylon is a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean bird. Now, unclean and hateful bird. Now, how could a bird put you in prison? It's talking about the powers of darkness. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Get out of places like that. Come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins and that you may not receive her plagues. Plagues are going to be poured out over the spiritual harlot, over Babylon. God says, saints, get out of places like that. And you know you're not listening to a message from God if they're not dealing with your sin, if you're not leaving better than you came, if they're not teaching you to die to your flesh, and without holiness, no man's going to see God. Sin is not even hardly mentioned in most places today. So God says, get out of there. Let's keep reading. It says, as for her sins have piled up as high as the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. And when it's saying her, it's speaking about men and women, because we're going to be the bride of Christ. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she's mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, lived after the flesh, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and I'll never see mourning. and I'm not a widow and will never see mourning. In other words, she's saying, I'm queen and Jesus is the king and I'll never see mourning. In other words, I'm the bride of Christ is what she's saying. For this reason, in one day her plague shall come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord who judges her is strong. So get out of places like that. Make sure your shepherd, you're not going to find a perfect human, and you're not perfect either, but find one that's submitted to God as much as they know how and are teaching you to repent of your sin. Psalms 147:12 says the reasons for praising God are, let me back up here. Go to Psalms 2:6. Sorry. 2 verse 6. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Go to Psalms 26. I'm sorry. Is that Psalms 2? Psalms 2:6-9 says, But I've installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, Thou art my son. Today I've begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Okay, go to Psalms 3, verse 3. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and He answered me from His holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke. The Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Go to Psalms 147, verse 10. It says, He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His loving kindness. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord your God, O Zion. For He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed you, your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. Praise God. And so Zion is synonymous with God's presence. It's a holy place. And we're the temple of the Lord. It is His holy temple. And we are the temple of the Lord. The Bible says if we destroy our temple, God will destroy us. And that means, I believe, that we need to take care of our bodies and not abuse our bodies with drugs and alcohol. And how many of us, myself included, we abused ourselves with food. You know, Kernan mentioned yesterday morning about how they're putting ground up metals in food to mutate the cells. Is that what you said? Yes. And you know this HAARP thing that they can take electromagnetic, they take this electromagnetic thing and shoot it anywhere and cause a hurricane, cause earthquakes. But they can also shoot it at people that are under the curse. Now, if you're under the blessing, that's not going to happen to you. You can even eat poison and it won't kill you, according to Mark 16. God said that. You're not under the curse. A curse cannot light unless there's a cause. But they can take those electromagnetic fields and shoot them at people and cause all kind of mental, neurological problems. And so with the mutation of putting things in people's food. You see, God knew that all along. That's when we need to bless our food. Instead of just sitting down eating, we need to bless it and ask God to kill anything in it that's not good. Praise the Lord. And so there's a responsibility. I think I'm just going to read some... read some scriptures that are promises. There's so much about Zion, but I'm just going to read some scriptures that I think that will encourage you. Psalms 34:7. If y'all want to turn there or just write these down and read them. When you start looking at what's going on in the world and start getting scared, start reading these scriptures. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him, there's no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Glory to God. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, although the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Hallelujah. Psalms 121:1. I will lift my eyes to the mountains from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you, there's grace. You will not slumber. You know what? If he sees you take your junky clay and yield it 100%, surrender to him, guess what? Nobody can touch you unless he gives them permission. And he's not like your daddy or mother. He's going to protect you as he would the apple of his eye. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. And then you know Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and the protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You will deliver me from the snare of the trapper, that's Satan's traps, the noisome pestilence that and the stalks. He will deliver you from the snare of the trapper and the noisome pestilence. He will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. He will cover you with his pinions. Because you make the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your habitation, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. Well, let me see. A plague is a curse. So if I get a plague, that means in some area of my life, God wasn't my refuge. Right? So I need to look for why there's a curse there. What is the cause of this curse? And keep looking till it's gone. Psalms 59:8 says, but you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all the nations. Because of his strength, I will watch for you. For God is my stronghold. My God in his loving kindness will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes. It's kind of a little bit different than what we're hearing on the news, right? Psalms 27:4. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. Hey, in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me upon a rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Proverbs 28:18. He who walks blamelessly will be delivered, but he who is crooked will fall at once. Isaiah 43:1. For now thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. You know, if you grew up in a traumatic, dysfunctional situation, you were given away, you were an orphan, you didn't have your mother, you didn't have your daddy, you were not protected, it's hard to believe that. If you want to believe it, then forgive your parents for all the abuse, the physical, mental, emotional, sexual, whatever you went through. Because, see, that's you have a perverted image of God based on how you judged your parents. Because there are no parents that are perfect. We can try to be perfect. We can try to do what's right. But there's nobody perfect except God. And He is flawlessly perfect. Not one anywhere near any of our best parents. And I had good parents. But they couldn't come near Him. They're like a speck of dust compared to God. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you're precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I'm with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. Revelation 3:10, because you've kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. Now what that means is if you deal with your issues now, He don't have to test you again. If you're letting Him refine you and test you now, you don't have to go through the hour. You may have to go through the tribulation and all that, but you don't have to be tested. You've already been tested. Dealing with your issues, the hour of the word of His perseverance. Psalms 37:1, don't fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers, for they'll wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And I'm not going to read all of Psalms 37, but read it. I mean, there's provision, there's promises, there's protection, everything you need. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evildoer. For evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they'll inherit the land. There's scriptures that says that the saints will live in the land, inherit the land, possess the land, be fruitful in the land. Hallelujah. It says the scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. So we need to pray for the houses, lands, water wells, tanks, ponds, creeks, rivers of the saints all over the world. That anybody that sets foot on their property, every demon in them is bound, deaf, dumb, blind, and helpless. A wall of fire, a hedge of protection, God's warring angels around the saints. The wicked will perish. That's a long psalm. Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her sin. Slain. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. Who've not lifted up their soul to falsehood. How do I have clean hands and a pure heart? By confessing my sin. When God convicts you that you've sinned, don't hang on to it. Turn from it. Confess your sins. Tell God you're sorry. And if you've never done this, make a sin list. Go back as early as the Holy Spirit shows you to your earliest memories of childhood. If you know anything that happened to you in the womb based on stories that you've heard, and start repenting. Make a sin list. Don't say, forgive me for all these 9 million sins. Each one, Lord, forgive me for shacking up with so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Lord, forgive me for setting my eyes on evil. And go through your whole life asking the Holy Spirit to show you every sin you ever committed. And you confess each one of them. And that's how you get your life cleaned up. And then after that, he's going to begin over, as you walk with the Lord, He's going to begin to continue to show you things that you need to deal with. And one thing I've learned is when I have a problem, God's got a lesson. What are you trying to teach me, Lord? Show me my sin. In fact, that's how He shows you what's next, is to give you a problem. If somebody's irritating you or bothering you, it's because your own conscience is not clear. Usually God shows me, He's trying to show me something I did. Something that bothers me about somebody else, 99% of the time I did it too. And He's wanting me to say, Lord, I never have asked you to forgive me for that. Please forgive me. It helps you not be quite so judgmental. Okay? I hope that's encouraged you, these scriptures. There's a place where God has for His saints. And it's a place that you can't see with the human eye. But He's gonna take care of us. But don't think you're going to live a life of sin and be shacking up and doing this and doing that that you shouldn't do and think you're going to get protected. I tell people all the time that I'm witnessing to, people that tell me that, you know, well, I'm already a believer. And I say, well, are you being obedient to the Lord? Because I'm saying we're living in days that if you don't obey the Lord, you're going to be killed. That's your only hope of protection. And it's all by His grace. You cannot even obey if He doesn't do it for you. All you have to do is take your junky clay and put it in the hands of the potter. And nobody can get through God's hands. That's His hedge of protection. Amen? Okay, stand up and ask the Lord to show you. Examine yourself to see if you're of the faith. I don't mean a believer in your head. I mean, has there been a time when you were born again, transformed? I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham crusade. I kept smoking, cussing. My life didn't change. But I got born again when I was 25. And my life has been different ever since. And ever since, the more I go on with God, the more I see I don't know nothing that I thought I knew. I'm not even a speck as smart as I thought I was. and I thank the Lord that, Lord, we want You to humble us. We want to be humble people. And Lord, search my heart. Pray with me. Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me why You let me hear this message. I ask for the truth, Lord, that sets me free. And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you. Confess your sin. Make your sin less even when you get home. Lord, I ask You to forgive me for living after my flesh. You said I can't do what I want to do, and I've lived and did what I wanted to do. I ask You to forgive me. Forgive me for not living for eternity. Everybody pray with me. Forgive me, Lord, for not living for eternity. I forgive my parents for not protecting me. Not being there, for being abusive, for throwing me away, giving me away, divorce, abandoning me. I forgive them for not wanting me, not valuing me, not protecting me, being angry, raging, mean, hateful, murderous. I forgive them. And Lord, forgive me for not going to Your throne of grace. I've been a fainter. I've given up, bailed out, come short of Your grace, and I've been bitter and angry. I ask You to forgive me. Lord, forgive me for trusting doctors and medication. I ask You to activate the mind of Christ in me. I ask You to show me every sin that I've not yet confessed. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, You'll forgive me for not denying myself and taking up my cross and following You. Forgive me for rebellion and anger and passivity. You know, the Bible says that the diligent shall rule, but he who deals with a slack hand shall be put to forced labor. Forgive me for dealing with a slack hand, Lord. Forgive me for not being diligent. Forgive me for being passive. Forgive me for being apathetic. Remember, Howard said that apathy was the number... Was that the eighth one? Just before bondage. And we've been apathetic. I've been apathetic. I was really convicted when he said that. I've been apathetic. I think how the devil's conceived me, has deceived me through that message, was so many times things happen and it's not the devil. You know, I just need to repent of something else. And I do. And it is true. But I think I've been passive myself. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll just put the fire of God in us. Fill us with Your Holy Ghost and power and change us into Your man and woman in Jesus' name. Give us boldness. Forgive us for fear of being killed, fear of the one world order, fear of the chip, fear we're going to be hungry. Forgive us for fear of war, fear of fighting, fear of the upheaval in the world. Fear of harp, fear of the drones, fear of being surveilled. Forgive us for fear. That's exactly what the devil wants. Forgive us for not taking our seat in the heavenly places and telling the devil what God's going to do to him. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I come against the spirit of fear, horror, trauma, terror. I come against passivity and apathy and stubbornness and rebellion. I come against antichrist spirits in Jesus' name. I come against willfulness in Jesus' name. Stubborn, stiff neck. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I come against anger and rage and hurt. Leave. In Jesus' name. I come against selfishness and greed and stinginess. Go in Jesus' name. I come against the spirits that tell me I have to have my own way to be happy. That's the most miserable way. In Jesus' name, go. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I want to come into your refuge. I take my junky clay and I yield it to you, the potter. Forgive me for thinking that I have to do it myself, that I have to turn the potter's wheel. Forgive me for being legalistic, a Pharisee, a stench of death, having an aroma of death. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Bewilderment, confusion, mind control. I break demonic mind control in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. One thing the Illuminati does, if they can get, they own the drug companies. They own the illegal and the legal drug companies. They fill people full of psychiatric medicine. And then like this kid that killed those people, all they have to do, come to find out. I told someone the other day, I said, I can guarantee you he's on psychiatric medicine. You know, I know a person that I thought killed himself. But I come to find out, as I begin to read the drug he killed himself with, I was doing a kind of a search the other day. And I saw that drug, one thing it does is cause insomnia. And another thing it does is that you could drive down the road and not even know you drove. And so what happens is, you know, sometimes if I'm taking vitamins, I think, did I take my vitamin today? I can't even remember. And I'm not on any kind of medication. On zero medication. And I think, did I take my vitamin? You take somebody on psychiatric medicine, they're already psychotic. They're already just don't even know what town they're in. So they take one and it makes them have insomnia. So they take another one and they take another one and they overdose and it kills them. You know what? You need the mind of Christ and you're not going to have it taking psychiatric medicine. And now that's not to condemn you if you're taking it. And I'm not telling you to get off of it, but you need to let your doctor help you. And more than that, you need to get deliverance so you don't need that stuff. It's rebellion. Rebellion is at the root of mental problems in Jesus' name. And I know people in this room that have been healed of mental illness. A man can give a testimony. They've been healed. You can be healed of anything if you come to God with it because He's the great physician. I told a lady once, she said, my psychiatrist said that I'll always be on that medication. I said, you know what? If you keep going to him, you will always be on it. But one thing they can do is they get you on these mind control drugs and they can work you because the Illuminati's behind it. And they come to find out this kid that killed people, he's into Satan worship. And so they can just work your mind to have you do whatever they want you to do. Like a zombie, you just go do it. Well, Lord, we thank you that we do have the mind of Christ when we're yielded to you. The King of Kings. And we come against all mental illness and insanity and bipolar and ADHD and autism and hyperactivity. We break your power, all spirits of unrest. We break that curse of unrest. And Lord, you said, come unto you because I labor in a heavy laden and you'll give me rest. And I want you to lift your hands to heaven. Lord, I ask you to I come under your yoke. I break off that yoke of iron, and there's a yoke of iron in Deuteronomy 28 that says you will serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness, and he'll put an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. I cut that iron yoke in Jesus' name, and Lord, I ask you to bring down the yoke of heaven upon our necks, all of our necks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I receive your yoke. I yield to you. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. adore Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. With love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Prayer meeting at 6. Come for more prayer. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.